Welcome to IMTV. I'm Alan Keyes, and this is Let's Talk America. Today, we have a really exciting program, and it's especially exciting for me because this is someone I've been reading his work for years, following the work that he has done, learning from him for many years. But I can't tell you the impression that has been made over me over the years, because this is somebody who actually corresponds to the descriptions that are often given to America's founding fathers. Polymaths, people who know a lot about many things, but who apply them in a way that then respects the common sense and the common good of the people of the that they're communicating with. And that combination, believe it or not, is fairly rare and has become as rare as hen's teeth, as they used to say, in our own time. And yet this is an investigative journalist who also is one of the people on top of our computer science. This is going to be an exciting show. Stay right there. We'll be right back. If we're just reacting and we're not thinking and we're not seeing what's really going on, then we're probably going to end up in a very bad place.
Ready to start thinking again?
We're IMTV, and we provide conservative content that will reactivate your mind. Loaded with truth, we are changing the world. Watch any of our shows for free through our website at www.imtv.us.
We are raising a generation of young people who believe that as Americans, we have no ground for moral agreement. Welcome back. Well, today's show involves someone. He's known, widely known, as the Health Ranger, but it doesn't go anywhere near covering the accomplishments of this extraordinary man. He's somebody who, at a young age, had already mastered the world of computer science. He built and then sold a company and then embarked on an extraordinary career that has ended up being a career of service to everyone who is trying to use the internet to gain real and substantial knowledge, especially in fields that are vitally important to our lives, like health and how you maintain it, but also with a willingness to tell the truth about the things he has found over time that then led him to become an extraordinary investigative journalist who broke stories that then rocked both the scientific, the pharmaceutical, and other worlds again and again and again. It's with great pleasure, and as you can see, a lot of excitement that I introduce today's guest, Mike Adams. The Health Ranger comes to visit us here at Let's Talk America, and we'll talk about a range of things. With me, of course, as is now often the case, is Bob Sisson. He is my inspiration, the inspiration of IMTV, and he is also, I think, really excited with the guest that we have today. Welcome to the show, Mike. It's an extraordinary pleasure to have you here today.
Well, thank you both. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for the invite. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Wherever you want to take it, it's just fantastic. But thank you for having me here. It's great to join you.
You're welcome. Well, the first place I want to go is to talk to you a minute about a couple of things that you have a fascinating biography that's presented on the Health Ranger site, and it cites some of the things that are key beliefs in your life. And if you don't mind my reading two of them, they lead to a question that I think makes a good introduction to the show. Because you are yourself somebody who is both a well-educated, self-educated, well-read scientist who has applied that science in ways that have produced extraordinary results and are still doing so. But you are also somebody who's remarkably honest about, I guess, some of the problems we're currently facing. With the way science interacts with the challenge of really informing people. He says, modern science is currently run by a cabal of close-minded, dogmatic, intellectual monopolists whose mission is to block the advancement of real science and protect the profit interests of drug companies, vaccine manufacturers, and chemical companies. Science has been hijacked by corporate interests at the expense of progress. Later on, in the same exposition of his thinking, it says, the for-profit medical system that exists today is highly destructive to human civilization and threatens the very future of it. The system rewards keeping the population in a never-ending state of disease and suffering rather than finding ways to prevent or cure disease. That was one of these times when I read that, I said to myself, you know, it's just such a rare pleasure to hear someone exactly state what's on your mind. And you did it wonderfully. But I'd be kind of interested as to what you see to be both the sources of this problem and also the range of its impact on the lives of the folks who would be out there in the audience. We think of healthcare as an area that you should be able to trust with your life, right? But it seems that it's gone in other directions in our time. Why do you think all this is so?
So as a fundamental principle, I believe in free markets, I believe in competition, and I believe in consumers being able to make informed choices about products and services that can enhance the quality of their lives. But what's happened under this rigged system now, which is not a free market system anymore, it's a rigged system where the FDA grants monopolies to pharmaceutical companies that trick the FDA with rigged studies. For example, did you know the FDA doesn't conduct any drug studies itself? It relies on drug companies to conduct their own studies. Drug companies then may conduct, let's say, 20 studies and cherry pick the ones that they want to present to the FDA. And the drug companies have a really dishonest relationship with clinical trial companies that are known to rig studies in their favor, and that's their business model. So what we have is faked science, rigged studies. In one case, virologists who used to work for a prominent vaccine manufacturer filed a false claims act with the federal government, explaining that they were directed by the management of their company to spike blood samples from their human trial participants with animal antibodies against mumps and measles and rubella in order to trick the FDA into thinking that their MMR vaccine was effective when it wasn't. And so we have this revolving door of fraud. And the profit in it is in convincing everybody that they're always sick, they always need synthetic chemicals, that they always need more and more vaccines, there's never a limit. And when the truth is that these are not pathways to health. And society is harmed as a whole when people are harmed by these pharmaceuticals. They lose cognitive function, they lose longevity, and society suffers both in the GDP, but also even spiritually. People's quality of life is reduced by this scourge on society. So that's my short answer.
Well, you know, Bob, who is with me today, he has some firsthand experience with these effects. And he has encouraged my interest, which has been there for years, but he encouraged my interest, and I got actively involved with the work that he has been doing in Uganda and elsewhere, promoting an approach that is actually based on common sense experience. And he's also, of course, encountered some of the very things you talk about. So you must be excited, not only that Mike is here, but that he's talking exactly about the things that are so important.
Hey, Mike, excited does not it really tell the truth about me. I woke up, I thought you might have been on yesterday because I couldn't get in touch with Jim. So I couldn't sleep night before last anticipating what might have happened yesterday. And then the same thing happened last night. About 2:30, the Lord woke me up, and I couldn't go back to sleep for a while. So I was praying about what all might happen and how delightful you might be, and you've more than fulfilled that. So we're really thrilled to have you here. But yes, we've had an experience, and I've been using it. We talked briefly a little bit earlier about using chlorine dioxide in Uganda to cure malaria, or let's say, and to keep the dogs off of us, to cleanse people's bodies of malaria. And we found that it seems to do a lot of other things as well. And so very excited about the opportunity to talk about that and just thrilled to have you here. So, but let's talk a little bit about glyphosate. Now, and you said you knew Dr. Stephanie Seneff?
Yeah, yes, we're familiar with her work. We've reported on it many times. And of course, I run a mass spec laboratory where we are doing quantitative analysis for glyphosate right now. I'm actually going there after this interview to do that exact work. We do a lot with glyphosate.
Yeah, so glyphosate is apparently going to emerge as the biggest carcinogen that at least that's being made public right now. We'll find out about other things they've been doing to poison us as time goes on. Everybody remembers the fluoride's really good for you scam that they pulled for multiple years. But any rate, yeah, Dr. Seneff has been working and with Kerry Rivera. We got a little clip that I wanted to show. Kerry Rivera has been curing autism for years and years and years. And this clip shows the moment that she understood that chlorine dioxide destroys glyphosate. And I just want to show that. It's about 30 seconds long. If we could cue that up, please.
Chlorine dioxide chelates glyphosate or just chlorine dioxide?
Chelating it would mean that it's still around. It actually destroys it. It destroys glyphosate. It breaks it down into individual molecules that are useful nutrients, which is really, truly remarkable.
I'm so proud. I'm so proud of my chlorine dioxide. I'm so proud of it. Oh, it's been a long road to hear finally some really, again, you know, it's been 8 years, 8 years of not understanding the why children recover from autism.
So there you have a lady who's been cured over 600 kids of autism, and now for the first time on camera, she's learning a big part of why that's been happening. So that was your introduction to Kerry Rivera. She is a huge fan of yours. She's been blowing up my text thing, trying to get me to introduce y'all. But any rate, very excited about what you're doing with glyphosate and what God is doing to take away all the harm that these people are doing to us. God is going to reverse that in our day. And I'm thrilled about it. Thrilled to death.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that what we're hearing raises a question that I know you have addressed before and will in the future. But we look at a situation like this. And let's start out in a naive sort of viewpoint. Some major breakthroughs in medical science were made by folks who had experiences that were then ordinarily observed that produced certain effects. And the end result was that their scientific understanding in mind then thought, I've got to find the cause of this and isolate it so that we can apply it practically, right? So they were moved to actually understand these effects. Why is it now that whether it's with things like chlorine dioxide or the use of such things to deal with autism and other things, there seems to be actually not just a reluctance, but a hostility to advancing scientific knowledge by looking at the results of ordinary experience and then refining our understanding of them through the scientific method? I thought that was the essence of science.
You are exactly right. In fact, many of the greatest breakthroughs that modern science now recognizes, such as the theory of relativity or quantum mechanics or even the discovery of the germ theory, let's say, would not be possible under today's politically motivated science cult. And I call it a cult because it's a dishonest belief system now where they claim to have a monopoly on facts and they've abandoned the process of science. And I know you understand this very well. Science is a process, not a conclusion. Mm. It's not a set of facts. It's a process of discovery where new information, even if it contradicts current beliefs, must be assessed, and it must be at least welcome to be debated. And yet today in the quote science establishment, there is no debate allowed. There's no dissent allowed. They demand absolute obedience on every subject that you can think of, from vaccines to pharmaceuticals to GMOs, herbicides, even in some cases, you know, physics and astronomy in some cases. So it is a cult now. It is no longer accurate to label it science, sadly.
Mm. And what would you say is the major area or are the major areas where this kind of, well, let's call it a functional hostility to scientific advancement that's beneficial to everybody? What are major areas that this has had an effect on, given your investigative background?
Well, the science journals, of course, are the gatekeepers of what is accepted as a scientific fact. Now, we've all seen the censorship, of course, recently across social media, a lot of that being politically motivated. Anyone who supports America or Trump for that matter, is banned. But in the scientific realm, you know, I've been censored for many years in the scientific realm. And even though I'm a published scientist, I have a study published in the Chromatography Online Journal called LCGC. And I have two patents in my name, and our laboratory is ISO accredited. There are no other journals that will touch my work simply because they don't want to offend their advertisers. The corporations run the science and medical journals. And it's those same corporations, which are essentially the agricultural chemical companies and the pharmaceutical companies, that also set the agenda for CNN and the mainstream media. Because remember, the FDA legalized direct-to-consumer drug advertising in 1997. And by the way, if President Trump wanted to really take it to CNN and Big Pharma at the same time, he should order the FDA to reverse that decision. The drugs would no longer be advertised to the public, and CNN would lose as much as 70% of their revenue overnight. So there you go, two for one.
Well, what leads to this result being aided and abetted, in your view, by the political establishment? After all, we live in what's supposed to be a time of government, constitutional government, of, by, and for the people. So if you have an area where there's a dichotomy between what is happening in terms of the overall common good of the people and what is being promoted by powerful interests, shouldn't our government actually provide a counterweight to that so that the true benefits are enjoyed by the people as a whole? What's gone wrong?
Well, absolutely. And I know you're asking that with a bit of hilarity because you've discussed this answer many times before with many people, and you've got it exactly right. It's regulatory capture. So industry captures the regulatory agencies. The agencies, then the leaders of those agencies go work for the industry after they leave agencies. For example, the former head of the CDC is now vice president for global marketing of vaccines for Merck. And this happens again and again and again. And there needs to be a firewall between regulatory agencies and private industry. And in some countries, that firewall does exist. It doesn't mean corruption is eliminated, but it dissuades corruption. It's wrong for a government employee to work for the EPA or the CDC or the FDA and then later take a job with the very companies that they were previously regulating. And that happens every day in our country. Mm.
Well, there's another component to this that underlies it, and we are always verging toward the discussion of it. But when you look back on the history of particularly the medical profession, the thing that a lot of people commonly know is there was the Hippocratic Oath, and the Hippocratic Oath was essentially renowned for saying do no harm, right? And it meant, in a way, that the professional was to put the benefit and welfare of those they were working to heal and make better above everything else. We live in an age now where that seems to have been totally tossed out the window. And is that simply a problem of science, or is it also a problem of character? And what has happened to the character of the health sector?
Yes, well, you put it very well, the character of the health sector. And this problem becomes much worse when you have centralized control, i.e. socialized medicine. So under socialized medicine, then doctors are no longer afforded any freedom to make decisions like a general practitioner working with a patient in a local context, understanding the particular insults to health that may occur to that person in their local town or local jobs that they may be pursuing. Those decisions are taken away from local physicians and made by bureaucrats in a centralized location, Washington, D.C. And those decisions become increasingly irrational the more they are distanced from the local interaction between the physician and the patient. And I know, again, I know you've covered this before as well, but what you end up with is an insane system of medicine that is an insult to the intelligence of doctors, an insult to humanity, and a for-profit system where all of the allowed protocols, their entire purpose is to generate profit, i.e. billing, Medicare reimbursement, and so on, for the drug companies and the medical device manufacturers. And that's it. The system exists for nothing, no purpose other than to use human beings as vessels for corporate profit. And we're very close to that now. And if people like Bernie Sanders get their way and have socialized medicine, then it will become an absurd joke. And we're very close to that even right now.
Well, another side of this that I think is critically important is that it actually denigrates both the participation and, as you mentioned, the intelligence of the consumer. And I've noticed over the years, one of the things I love about what you do with Natural News, you are both providing information to people, but you're also challenging them with thoughtful presentations that require that you think through what is to the benefit of your health. Think through what is going to benefit your children. Look at what's actually going on in the world and seek out alternatives that allow you to take control of that process. You really seem to have a deep heart for that. And I'm wondering, one, what inspired that concentration, and have you been able to see results that you think prove that people still are willing to take on the responsibility that they're of applying their own common sense and their own capacity for understanding what's happening?
Well, thank you for that question, and it saddens me to experience this world with such human suffering that's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Underneath all the science and underneath all the intellectual, because I can talk to you about molecular theory and all these things, but underneath it all, I'm compassionate, and I can't stand to see human suffering. This is why I have publicly come out so strongly against abortion and infanticide, by the way. Mm-hmm. The suffering is not necessary. That we know how to cure people. We know how to halt cancer. We know how to overcome diabetes. We have all of the answers, but all the answers are suppressed, and they are systematically suppressed by a system that is, dare I say, demonic in its influence and in its agenda. Mm. Underneath it all, I'm a human being. I was granted these gifts by God for whatever reason, a gift to be able to perhaps communicate, or a gift of curiosity, you might say. And sadly, the more curious I am, the more I uncover, the more saddened I become about what we, humanity, have done with all these incredible gifts. It's very sad.
Well, we have are running out of or into the need to communicate a little bit with folks, a few messages that will help support our work here. But when we come back, I'd actually like to pursue that thought a little further, because I think there is a question of evil, to be frank about it, and the way in which it proceeds that is sadly, tragically illustrated in what has been going on in the health sector. And I think it might be fruitful to talk about that a bit right after we hear these words.
Want more IMTV episodes? We are now streaming through Roku. Roku is a device that enables you to stream entertainment to your TV through your internet provider. The starting price is only $29, and you can purchase one either online or through your local electronics retailer. It's easy to use, and you won't have to worry about missing any more IMTV episodes. IMTV, changing the world.
Well, our discussion so far, I think, has come up to something that I think we really need to think through a little further. Part of what happens in human life happens because of the sometimes tragic coincidence of blindness and passion, whether blinded by greed or other sorts of things, and what would really benefit folks in the application of the talents and abilities that folks may have that could be shared in a way that would benefit everyone. But there are also forces that exploit that and that do it purposefully. And I've wondered about this, so I want to propose to you a little hypothesis. Because as part of what is going on, we have side by side the curtailment of scientific advances that would help people to live better and live longer, so that they wouldn't develop and be subject to certain ailments that actually seem to be partly a consequence of the application technologically of science, but also partly, just the usual results of human passion combined with ignorance. But there's another aspect of this, because I keep hearing people who have adopted this view that, well, there are just too many people on the planet, We're a hostile burden to the environment and the climate and everything else. And the end result is prognostications about what they call the carrying capacity of the Earth that imply that here we sit between, what, 7 and 8 billion people now?
That's what I'm hearing.
And they say that, well, the Earth will cease to groan when that falls to 750 million to a billion. And I say to myself, well, that's going to be hard to achieve unless you find a way to cull the herd pretty drastically. And isn't part of what's going on, first of all, a commitment to want to reduce the number of people in the world, that is to say, a negative attitude toward the existence of so much humanity. But once you have done it, you would be then, if you had restrained some of these advances that are present and some of these breakthroughs that ought to be happening, if you have stopped them in order to retain control of how they are developed and when they are doled out, isn't that going to become an awfully powerful way of controlling the people who are left after you finish this process of culling the herd? Because it seems to me there seems to be a positive incentive to do harm going on here.
You're absolutely right. I'm glad that you took the conversation into this area. I'll share my thoughts on this. Science is no longer, even medicine is no longer about uplifting humanity, saving humanity, providing longevity or quality of life. It is about keeping people in the dark. So ignorance has become the goal of modern science for exactly the reasons that you mentioned. It's about controlling people, and there is an overriding agenda to depopulate the planet. And I brought with me a story in New York Times from 1971. A sterility drug in food is hinted. This is from 1971, and it's New York Times by Gladwin Hill. And this talks about how this was under President Richard Nixon. His science advisor, Dr. Lee Dubridge, wanted the president to support contaminating food exports that are going to third world nations at the time, mostly Africa, India, Central America, and so on. They wanted to spike them with infertility chemicals to lower population growth in those regions. Now, I'm sure you're very much aware that a couple of years ago, the Kenyan Catholic Bishops Association took vaccines that were UN-approved vaccines that were being given to young women in Kenya, and they sent them to laboratories for a chemical analysis. They had multiple confirmations that those vaccines had been spiked with HCG, an infertility hormone disruptor, essentially. There is, and there are many other examples of that to talk about, but there is an ongoing effort right now to drastically implode the fertility rates and the reproduction rates, not only in third world nations, but also in first world nations. And that's called a soft kill. But then there's a lot of discussion about so-called hard kill agendas or goals. And financially, I'll just add this thought and I'll finish this. Financially, think about the fact that every government in the world today, almost without exception, cannot remain solvent if they were required to meet the long-term obligations of present-day promises of entitlements. So the only way, even the United States, the only way the U.S. government remains solvent is to find a way for lots of people who hit retirement age to no longer be living. And that's just an economic fact.
You know, this is a very chilling pointer toward things that go on in various areas, but that most of the time we don't put together. You mentioned a few minutes ago abortion and things like that. And then we have the debate that has been encouraged, I think, to push people toward euthanasia so that it reach a certain point where it would be kind of expected that you would consider killing yourself. And it extends to the elderly, of course, but also to other forms of infirmity, even to people who are being afflicted in ways that lead them to have psychological states and conditions that you know, sort of mimic, I want to die, I want to get rid of this. And instead of trying to help those people, you are actually going to hand them what they need to kill themselves. It seems that we're dealing with folks who, like there were those who argued the positive good of slavery, these are people who are thinking and acting according to an understanding that says it is a positive good, in fact, to destroy a large part of the human race. I know that sounds like almost inconceivable that people would have such a thought, but how else do we explain the wholesale dedication to what can only be called a strategy of death and mayhem directed at the human race?
This used to be a kind of a covert conversation, but it's out in the open now, Alan. You see many of these thought leaders, technology leaders, talking about depopulation, openly advocating reduction in fertility, reduction of population, and with a kind of urgency now, where with this climate change hoax, which is a hoax, perhaps we could talk about that later, but they're using the climate change hoax to demand depopulation, saying that it essentially their logic is that if they don't find a way to kill off 90% of the humans, then we will all die because the planet will become uninhabitable. Now, it's a grand lie. It is fear-mongering, and we can disassemble that, but that's the logic or the irrationality that they're trying to use.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and at the same time, wonder, because a lot of these people talk as if, you listen to the folks who promote this the most, and justice and right and mercy and equality for human beings, it's always in their mouths. And yet,
that's right.
You look at the actual results. What would be the actual result, for instance, of implementing an approach to poverty that says, we're going to encourage, or not encourage, we're not going to discourage by enforcement poor people who commit relatively petty crimes? And I say to myself, well, if you're not discouraging the commission of petty crimes, then you're encouraging the belief that crime is going to be beneficial, and therefore contributing to people who, as they age, will get the idea that they should commit bigger crimes. I thought that the common sense of humanity was that you take care of things when they're little so that they don't grow into a great threat. They're reversing that now and basically saying you encourage the harm when people are only doing little stuff. Does that make sense? Unless you talk about things in the way that sees a positive evil as the goal?
Well, I would say that many of these climate alarmists and population alarmists, they have very poor skills in understanding the long-term ramifications of their present-day actions and demands. And this is, of course, very common among many Democrats who have no understanding of economics or cause and effect. But let me give you a good example in the realm of climate. So we have now a Bill Gates-funded project being led by Harvard scientists. It's an experimental project called SCOPEX, and it's designed to release pollution, particulate matter, into the stratosphere, which, of course, will be spread all across the planet. And the purpose of this program is to dim the sun or block sunlight, reflect sunlight away from the planet back into outer space. Well, what are the ramifications of this? They're enormous. You're talking about every plant on the planet, every tree, every flower, every blade of grass, every food crop now having less energy. And because, you know, photosynthesis, of course, requires sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide. Now, in marginal economies and in many third world nations where every last calorie is required for survival, if you block the sun by just 2%, you will cause mass starvation and famine in those areas. And this is the goal of this kind of project. And by the way, you'll also diminish the effectiveness of all the solar panels that people are purchasing in first world nations. So, you know, it's blocking the sun. These are the kinds of dangerous globalist ideas that are now being seriously researched, funded, and will likely be pushed by the United Nations in the future. The entire planet is being put at risk by their mass mental illness and delusions.
So we end up in a situation where people who are constantly telling us that we must be kind to nature and that we must treat each other with respect and equality and all the fields are actually impelling us down a road that amounts to mass extermination. And I
Absolutely.
Have particularly noted the ways in which they exploit issues that divide us in order to bring us to a point where this seems somehow sensible. And so the counterpart right. of the sort of climate change fallacy and the encouragement of all kinds of false understandings of both cause and effect with respect to the climate. It has a counterpart in social life as they promote ideas based on, they're always talking about how we should be unified, and then they're always promoting doctrines of racism, white privilege, other kinds of things like this that encourage people to be at each other's throats. And I always find it hard to understand how people that manifest a heart that's supposed to be so humanitarian can end up pushing for things that will produce results that actually have human beings reading each other out of the human race so that they can do them harm, and doing it all in the name of protecting this group or that. It seems exactly like what you say, a kind of madness, but there also is at its heart an evil intention that I think for most people would be hard to fathom. Why would you have this evil intention? Where does it come from?
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I've noticed over the years, when people are unable to grasp the reality of what's happening with government corruption, or, for example, some harmful ingredients that continue to be put into certain vaccines, or any of these things that are going on, or, you know, child trafficking, whatever, the number one thread that all of these deniers, I would say, have in common is they refuse to acknowledge the level of evil that can exist in some people. And human history is replete with evil. I mean, intense evil, genocide, mass atrocities, you know, democide, government mass murder carried out in regime after regime after regime in the name of good, in most cases, in the name of saving the country. And yet today, people are so protected in our society because, frankly, our free market economy has created so much economic abundance. It's created comfort. It's created convenience that people live now dissociated from where we came from. And they cannot acknowledge the truth that evil is real. Evil exists. And there's even an element of evil that can emerge from the dark hearts of certain people if they don't follow principles of ethics and morality. And it's very easy to twist people to that evil by appealing to their selfishness and appealing to their power and greed. And you see that across every institution today. Evil is taking over much of Hollywood, for example, and some of politics. Evil is real, sadly, and we must defeat it. And you know who we call to do that, to get that job done. That's God. and the fight is on.
Amen. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I've been sitting here thinking what we're discussing is good versus evil, God versus Satan, and the deep state, the Satanists, they've pretty much taken over our country. I like what John Michael Chambers says, is that they indeed have taken over. Now we're trying to regain our country. But what we at IMTV, we're big on encouraging people that this would not have happened if organized religion in America had continued to be salt and light, what we were raised up to be. We've not been doing our job. And so we have to look at ourselves. We don't look at evil to understand how they got so big. We look at ourselves to understand why we let it happen. And so what we find is that we are no longer people of the word. We no longer fear God and keep his commandments, but we've let our guard down. So our call is to go back to God, to start reading the scriptures, and to become once again salt and light in a nation that once represented God and was founded on the principles of a creator to whom we answer to.
You know, that brings
Amen.
Me
and
to...
the farther we...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
The farther we move away from those principles of biblical principles, upon which our nation was founded, the farther we move away from that, or the further, I should say, the worse things will get in our society. You're absolutely right. Amen to what you just said. It's time to return to the principles upon which we were founded.
Well, now the good news is, briefly, is that, in my opinion, is that the Lord Jesus, God himself, put Donald Trump in office as an opportunity for, because there are a lot of people in America that profess Christ, and it's an opportunity for us to get our act together, to come back to God, to quit bickering about, oh, you guys do it this way, we do it that way, therefore we can't get along. We have to come together. We have to stop abortion. We've got to come back to God through the Holy Scriptures And by his grace, we can once again become salt and light. We can once again become the greatest nation on the planet. And with his help, we can change things. And it's people like you and your hard work and your steadfastness in telling the truth, no matter what everybody else says. But the good news is, if we do what he's calling us to do, we will be victorious. Things will change. Health will be given back. And the population, instead of being reduced, will grow. And Brother Billy Gates is just going to have to deal with it, because God is not interested in how much money you got. He's interested in the hearts of the people. Praise the Lord.
Well, one of the things that struck me, I was thinking about it today, because at your site, you had, I think when I saw it, it was at the top, a discussion of the deceitfulness of the folks who are in charge of our scientific research into space, right? And the question of life on Mars. And I read through what you were writing about, and I said to myself, to me, it illustrates a connection between what we have been talking about here and what I think is the degradation of America's political life, the degradation of respect for the American people as the ultimate arbiters of government, the true sovereign voice that speaks periodically in elections and that the Congress and others, including the president, is supposed to represent. But as I was reading the article, I said, there is a sense here that's twofold. One, you got all these lies they're willing to tell, right? And you have been mentioning climate change and other things, but it seems that deceit has just become a modus operandi for so much of what is happening. But there is also underlying it a kind of contemptuous attitude, which is then encouraged amongst our people. Because often you'll make the excuse for deceit that was in that famous movie line, that you're not ready for the truth, or you can't handle the truth. That's what it was. And that seems to be the assumption. In other words, they're looking at the American people and saying, you can't handle the truth, therefore we must lie to you all the time, even about things that in some respects, I mean, how does the question of whether there's life on Mars affect the security of the United States, other things that might be plausible reasons for maintaining certain secrets? They seem to regard secrecy, which is a kind of deceit, right, as something that you encourage, and I think it has something to do with the attitude they're taking toward people now.
Absolutely. The way I've come to see it after all of this research, so many years of journalism and science research in my own laboratory and finding all the cover-ups, I mean, just what I've stumbled across has been mind-blowing. It's that the elitists who run our society, they manage your reality. Mm. And most of what people are taught is theater for your mind. You are lied to constantly about elements of every sector of human knowledge, from history, anthropology, astronomy, archaeology. You know, there are so many cover-ups in archaeology, and we could do multiple shows just on that fact alone. Cover-ups even in realms of health and science. A couple of months ago, we ran tests. We found high levels of lead and aluminum in a probiotic supplement sold by, I won't name the name, but the largest online retailer in the country. And then the Wall Street Journal did a big story that found that retailer sells over 3,000 illegal, banned, FDA banned, and toxic substances in products on their website, and they haven't removed many of these. And it's when you realize the level of deception that's going on, and throughout politics, and the rigging of elections, and the rigging of the narrative through media, you realize that the only way to discover any truth in this world is to reject those false sources and connect with what's real. And you know what's real? What I found? What's real is, of course, divinity, spirituality, God is real, but what's also real is what's right in front of you. The soil at your fingertips, the food that you grow out of your own garden, it's real. It's not processed, it's not synthesized, it's not this fake meat that they're trying to push now. What's real can return you to wholeness, and that's what we're missing in society. It's a dissociation a projection, even in the realms of health. People go to a doctor and say, doctor, you heal me because I have no control over my own body. That's the belief, and it makes no sense. You are in charge of your body. And by the way, everybody, you were born with a blueprint for perfect health. You were born with that blueprint. Mm. All you have to do is learn how to activate it, and that's through nutrition and food, by the way.
Mm. Well, I can't resist the temptation to let everybody know, once again, that your websites, Natural News, all one word, naturalnews.com and healthranger.com, have proven to me over the years to be invaluable sources, information, insight, and I think wisdom, the kind of wisdom that you've shared with us today. I think it's important to remember that facts are part of the truth, but the understanding that helps you to put those facts together in a way that really nourishes our human wisdom, that requires another kind of effort and a special kind of heart. And I just want to say, before we take this brief break, we'll be coming back and everybody can have a chance to say a word, but I just want to thank you again. I think the work that you do over the years, it not only displays courage, it displays a kind of integrity that is not only sorely lacking, but absolutely desperately needed. And I pray that you will never get discouraged and will keep doing that work for as long as you can, because the need is great. We'll be wrapping up this discussion right after these messages.
We are raising a generation of young people who believe that as Americans, we have no ground for moral agreement.
Well, I have a lot that is running through my mind and that I would like to leave with folks. But first, Bob, I'd like you to say a last word, both about and to, and sort of encouraging, I guess, the Health Ranger that we're riding with today to a kind of wonderful integrity.
All right. Well, I am absolutely thrilled to be here today. For Plummer to be able to be here and talk to Mike and to you is a thrill of a lifetime. But my encouraging word is that the Lord has intervened in the history of time once again. He is disgusted with the evil and with what they're doing to people through vaccines, through the food, through the chemtrails, through all the ways that they're trying to dumb us down and enslave us. And the Lord God Almighty has indeed, He is intervening. Mike, I will be praying for you, for all that you do. And things are going to change now. It's going to start getting better. The deep state is being overthrown. The sealed indictments are going to be opened. And things are going to change. By God's grace, He's given us an opportunity. And then the message is to all the Christian folk in America, let's get it together, guys. Start reading your Bible, start acting like you're salt and light, and then we're going to come out victorious. Thank you again, Mike.
Well, do you have a word to leave with our audience today?
Well, absolutely. First of all, it was wonderful to meet Bob and have a chance to chat there. But Alan, to be able to have this conversation with a man of your intellect and your breadth of knowledge, it truly, honestly gives me hope for humanity that we can be here and share this moment and have these discussions, because so much in the media is so insane and lacking in any kind of rationality. I really enjoy this. This is you're making my week, okay? And I'd love to join you again in the future.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Well, I've got to tell you that has been, as you can probably tell, a mutual satisfaction. First of all, let me express the hope that we'll be able to repeat it from time to time, and you can absolutely rest assured if there's any way I can be helpful in your work and say a word or two or appear, do whatever, that you'll let me know, because I'd be wonderfully privileged. I'd feel that God had blessed me if I could make a contribution in some way. But I do hope that you'll come join us again, because we've scratched the surface and I kind of think introduced people to what I think is a need for a fundamental change of vision, to admit possibilities that are happening. But then we can begin to examine in some greater detail for some of the issues that are most critical what those possibilities involve. But in the meanwhile, folks, I hope that you will think hard about the things that we have discussed today, ponder them, and then join us again as we explore this wisdom further here on Let's Talk.